WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The death toll rising and the number of people missing from Texas flooding up as well.
At least 173 people now unaccounted for. At least 110 deaths are confirmed, many of them children. 27 girls and counselors were killed at Camp Mystic along the Guadalupe River. Five campers and a counselor still missing.
ABC's Lana Moise, parts of Rio Doso, New Mexico, devastated by recent wildfires, more prone to flooding. There, three people lost their lives in flash flooding on Tuesday. Officials say a tentative deal has been struck between 9,000 union workers and the city of Philadelphia. The union not getting as much money as they'd have liked. The deal still must be ratified, but it will eventually mean trash will start getting picked up again in Philly. Russia firing a record 728 drones and 13 crews and ballistic missiles into Ukraine overnight. Ukraine says it was able to shoot down nearly 300 of the drones. This is ABC News.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Department of Transportation officials are sharing helpful safety tips for residents hauling recreational vehicles across the state this summer. DOT officials are reminding residents that hauled recreational vehicles like campers cannot be wider than 8.5 feet or taller than 13.5 feet. They are also required to follow all posted weight restrictions on roads and bridges across the state. Residents should remember to check the condition of their trailer and make sure everything is properly secured before hitting the road. A federal magistrate judge has recommended that the criminal case against a Milwaukee judge accused of helping a man who was in the country illegally evade arrest by immigration authorities in her courthouse should go forward. Judge Hannah Dugan entered a not guilty plea to and filed a motion to dismiss the charges in May, arguing that she was acting in her official capacity as a judge and is therefore immune to prosecution. The magistrate judge's recommendation said that immunity only covers monetary damage in civil lawsuits, not criminal charges. The Wisconsin State Patrol is advising Northwest Wisconsin residents that they will be conducting aerial enforcement in the region this week. The State Patrol's Air Support Unit will be patrolling Highway 64 in St. Croix County on Thursday and Highway 53 in Barron County on Friday. During aerial enforcement, law enforcement authorities will observe the highways from the air and report traffic violations to ground units below for traffic stops. The State Patrol shares the aerial enforcement details in advance in the hopes that drivers will voluntarily comply with traffic laws. Northwood Technical College has announced the official relocation of its Ladysmith Outreach Center to the recently renovated Ladysmith Rec Center. Organization officials say the relocation is part of an effort by the city to convert the former Ladysmith Elementary School into a multi-use community space. They also say their new location will improve access to adult education, workforce training, and testing services for residents in a more community-focused location. The new location will be renamed to the Northwood Tech Ladysmith Workforce Accelerator. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers and the Dodgers, Game 3 today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens from AmFam Field in Milwaukee, where the Brewers and Dodgers are wrapping up their series. The Brewers winning again last night 3-1. Rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski throwing fastballs over 100 miles an hour. What was it like facing the Miz for the first time? Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
We hadn't seen him before, and the stuff's really good. The fastball is pretty special, and, you know, it's hard to find silver lining when a guy strikes out 12 guys.
The game televised nationally on TBS. Announcer Brian Anderson interviewing manager Pat Murphy live during the game when he let out a swear word over the air by accident.
Murph, thanks for spending some time with us. We got to get your thoughts, what you've seen so far from your flamethrower, Jacob Mizorowski. Pretty elite stuff here. As
Monasterio
sends one to left.
Call get out of here.
It's D. It's caught at the wall.
Yeah, it looks like you get it off the end a little bit.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Mostly sunny and pleasant today. We'll get to around 75 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We may see a little patchy fog toward morning. Our low dropping down to 52. Tomorrow, sunshine 82 with a chance of scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by Celi Flores, a DACA recipient. We'll explore what it was like watching the 2024 election unfold, and what it's like now watching Donald Trump attack immigrants from coast to coast.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning, July 9th. Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2, meteorologist Brittany Merlot and Earl Ingram all standing by here. Coming up tomorrow in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to Congressman Mark Pocan. Coming up later today in this 8 o'clock hour, we will be talking to State Senator Kel DeRoyes. We will also have Melissa Baldoff here with this week's climate check and James Kelly with an update on some of the stories he's following in western Wisconsin. But first, let's bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot with that update on the forecast, because is it gorgeous everywhere, or is it just me? Is it just the CPAP machine? I'm getting enough oxygen now. I just had a great night's sleep. Is there only gorgeous weather here? Am I that, rose-colored glasses? Or everybody else getting this too?
It's mostly you. I mean, western parts and southern parts. So you are in the good spot right now.
Okay.
So this is good for you, Pat. How was last night? Just amazing?
Oh, I feel so much better. I mean,
yay.
Honestly, I thought it was going to go the other way. I would be like draggy and go, I couldn't get used to the machine. It was noisy and it was strangling me. And instead it was exactly as everybody told me it would be. That you feel better, you feel refreshed. Sherry, instead of being concerned that she wasn't hearing me breathe, it was now off-putting that there was no snoring, that it was so quiet.
Yay.
And that's a better problem to have. I think we all agree. So
absolutely. God, I'm so happy for you guys.
Oh, I'm no regrets about this decision whatsoever. So yes, it is gorgeous here, and I hope it spreads to others. Tell us whether it will or not.
Yes, Pat's joy will spread to the entire state. The sunshine will make it to every single person today. But there are some feisty clouds still sticking around, especially into central parts and northern parts of the state. We are still looking at dense fog in places, too, especially in Mosinee, Juneau, and Boscobel, even into Siren, Wisconsin. So patchy fog out there, a dense fog advisory still in effect until 10 a.m. for Bayfield, Ashland, and Iron counties. But of course, that high pressure system is going to dominate today and most of tomorrow. So plenty of sunshine on tap. Highs today will rise to the mid-80s for a lot of us south and west. For the north and east, mid-70s today. We are going to stay sunny and dry, like I said, tomorrow too. It's going to get a little bit more muggy though, especially into the western areas and down south in the state. It's going to start to feel humid, mid-80s statewide tomorrow. And then we are looking at some showers and storms moving in possibly tomorrow afternoon in the southern half of the state and then taking over for Friday. And it could be pretty heavy at times. There are places that could see 2 inches of rain, maybe more. And of course, these storms are kind of packing a punch with some heavy brief downpours, where even yesterday we saw 1.5 inches into Waukesha area, kind of creating some issues out there too. So be careful out there. Don't let those highway puddles pull you in.
No, not at all. All right. Mm-mm. Brittany, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
All right. A reminder, you can always follow what we do at Up North News by signing up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up there in the top banner for our weekday newsletters and my Sunday morning one that focuses on Wisconsin politics. All right, let's visit with Earl Ingram. A couple of different things going on as he covers matters in Southeast Wisconsin for Civic Media, not the least of which is a podcast series that we haven't talked about for a while that we will kind of get promoted here in the next few minutes. But more importantly, we were talking last week. Earl was getting set for working a football camp with Gilbert Brown. And, you know, the weather's been nice. Earl, good morning. Did you get the camp underway?
Yeah, we kicked it off yesterday with over 220 young people, ages 6 to about 20 years old, two separate camps, both 4 hours apiece, starting at 8 a.m. and the first one to 12, and then we take a two-hour break, and then those from 13 through 20, from 2 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And so we were honored to have the Hall of Fame Green Bay Packer Leroy Butler show up yesterday and just really give a monstrous speech, along with the mayor, the chief of police, and other dignitaries who grace us every day.
You know, I'm painting with a bit of a broad brush here, but I hope folks get the main point. There are pro athletes who are real divas. They are really full of themselves, and they don't do a lot for others. There are other pro athletes who never forgot where their roots. They never forgot how much work it was to get where they are. And you sometimes wonder at these motivational conferences, why are there so many athletes there? Because there are certain athletes who are just that way. They've taken all that they've done, and now they're ready to channel it into motivating others. And that certainly sounds like what Leroy Butler was doing yesterday.
Well, people may not know it, but Leroy Butler is from Jacksonville, Florida. Gilbert Brown is from Detroit. And their connection to the city of Milwaukee is unbelievable. The Green Bay Packers aren't situated in Milwaukee, but the two of them have made a signature commitment to the city of Milwaukee and the central city children and families ever since they were Green Bay Packers. So they've left an indelible footprint in our communities, and we are better having Leroy Butler, Gilbert Brown do the things that they've been doing now for the past 15 years in our community.
So what did you enjoy most about having the camp get fired up again and having all those kids getting busy? What was the best part of your day?
Well, it brought me back to, I'm a guy who ran the largest youth tackle football program in the state for 20 years. And here in the city of Milwaukee, children ages 6 to 14, we had four young guys move on to play pro football, and countless numbers of them play in major universities and state universities across the state. And so missing that, I've been away from it for 4 years and 5 years, and just being back on the football field around football and the fraternity that football is. And so just being back around it is enough for me.
I can totally see that as well. And I think we may have touched on this last week, but I definitely want to hit it again, and that is the whole notion of these kinds of organized programs, the structure, the activities that you do together. And that is not, you know, something that's isolated to, say, a place like Milwaukee. I think of my own grandsons who have not been part of team sports, and how much more, you know, they could get if they were on a team and get that kind of structured activity. It's not for every kid, don't get me wrong, but Earl, I'm betting that it was kind of the dawning of a new realization for some of those kids yesterday that, you know, they want to do something that involves teams like this.
Well, I'll tell you, it's what really is critically important about what you just said is the person who runs the organization. And there clearly are some people who don't understand that it's about children and not about them. And so I realized that in the 20 years that I ran my league, that it was about children and that we had to focus on children and not the adults the parents and the coaches who sometimes would become wayward. But the lessons that I learned in sports go far beyond me and what I've been doing and in your lifespan and my lifespan. It can go back, you know, centuries, the importance of organized activities for young people.
We're talking to Earl Ingram, who also, along with the football camp and all that he does, also has a podcast series here on Civic Media. The podcast is called What's Going On with Earl Ingram. And it was Luke Mathers who pointed out to me the other day that there is a dedicated page to the podcast at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You can just click shows in the top banner or go to civicmedia.us/shows. And at this point, I think I see 6 episodes of the podcast that have gone up so far. I know it. We talked very early on about the one which is an interview with Dr. Howard Fuller. But can you tell us just a bit about a couple of these other episodes and, you know, why you decided to do them?
Well, you know, I'm kind of in a partnership with the Medical College of Wisconsin. And I think it's critically important that having these platforms that especially many of the people who listen have physical ailments. And so I had one podcast that I brought on a specialist who talked about high blood pressure and stroke. And May was High Blood Pressure and Stroke Month. Yesterday, I did a podcast with a urologist who, it's not up yet, but it'll be up soon, with a urologist who talks about prostate cancer. And so we really get into those things more so than what people normally hear in passing. But these are critical issues. People are dying, and they need to understand that there's prevention. But there's also the earlier you catch something, the more likely it is in today's science and advancements in healthcare that you can prolong your life if you're just aware of it. So a lot of what I'm going to be doing is dealing with the Medical College of Wisconsin and all the myriad of doctors and specialists that they have. I'm also going to deal with politics. I'm also going to be dealing, you know, with some very dedicated people who have dedicated their lives to serving others.
We definitely see that through an episode on walking into Black History with the NAACP. And, you know, also on the lighter side, Milwaukee in the movie scene is one of your more recent episodes that you did as well.
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you, there's some coming up where there's some young men who, through just great philanthropic commitment by the Daniels family, are just a tremendous family that I'm going to do a series on. And they have taken somewhere over the last 25 years, I'd say at least 500 young boys from the city of Milwaukee, traveled the world. And they become just outstanding ambassadors all over this country. They've gone to major universities, and they've made a commitment to come back to the city of Milwaukee and dedicate their lives to making things better. I'm really excited about that podcast and the stories that are happening with those young men, what they've done. It's really should be a national story. I want to make sure that we capture that.
That's awesome. And again, you can catch that in Earl's podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram, and head over to the Civic Media website to learn more about that. Earl, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for the visit this week.
All right. On my way to see the grave digger.
All right. Good luck. Have a great time with the camp. Always a pleasure. So All right. He has a lot of fun. Let me answer a question about that, because we got it on the text line about the show, about Earl's show, from John in Oshkosh. Says, is there a link on the app? Not a link to that specific podcast, but if you're using the Civic Media app, here's how to go about doing it. Down in the lower right corner, down at the bottom, it says home and my station, because you can pick a home station, and more. Click on the more button, and then one of the options is about Civic Media. And when you click about Civic Media, it takes you to the website. From there, go to the main menu, click on Shows, and you will see Earl's podcast and all the others that Civic Media provides to us as well. A local update is next for some of you. Others will talk to Melissa Baldoff and Climate Check, and then Senator Kelderoy is coming up in 15 minutes, live from Lake Wissota here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
My perfect day has sand, salt water, and friends. But my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can take me out of the moment. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, most people saw 90% clearer skin, and many were even 100% plaque-free at 4 months. Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin. And that means everything. Nothing is everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. Junior naturalists will be meeting today at 10 o'clock at the Wayside Wanderings Natural Play Area off of Randy Seck Road. The topic of the day is hiss, slither, and hop, looking at animals who breathe through their skin and swallow their food whole. A herpetologist, I've never heard of a herpetologist, will be there for the day to explore those animals. Junior Naturalist Program offers environmental education for children entering grades K through 6 using games, art, and outdoor exploration. Again, meeting at the Wayside Wanderings Natural Play Area at 43135 Randy Seck Road in Cable. There is a small fee for this. For Cable Natural History Museum members, it's only $6, $8 non-members, and there is scholarships available. Again, Junior Naturalists meeting today at 10 o'clock at the Wayside Wanderings Natural Play Area. Little Naturalists, who usually meet at the same location at the same time, this time around they're going to be at the Hayward Library talking about water wonders. Hayward Library is located at 10788 Highway 27 or 77 in Hayward. 10 o'clock is when the Little Naturalists will be meeting again at the Hayward Library. And this is for children ages 3 to 6, but older, younger siblings, but the older and younger siblings are welcome.
Adults are encouraged to stay and explore with their children. Again, meeting at the Hayward Library this day. Senior Resource Center in Hayward is offering some super senior classes. These classes are 45 minutes long and geared towards those who are 60 and older. And it is a chair-based exercise where they'll work on balance, strength, coordination, and core, and of course, having fun. Again, this class starts at 11 o'clock at the Hayward Resource Center, located at 15856 East 5th Street here in Hayward. Tween and Teen Club will be meeting at the library at 1 o'clock. The choice of activity is up to you. But it's a time for tweens and teens to meet at the library from 1 to 3 o'clock. This is a free activity. For more information, you can call the library at 715-634-2161. All right. Wednesday night supper from 5 until 6, the First Lutheran Church, located at 10680 Main Street, is offering meals for carryout only. You can drive up to the church. Someone will greet you, give you the number of meals that you need at no cost to you. Donations are accepted. If you'd like more information about this Wednesday night supper dinner at the First Lutheran Church at 5 o'clock, call 715-634-2141. Let's see here. Here's a public notice from Namekagon Transit. Their Namekagon Transit Commission will be meeting at 1 o'clock on Thursday the 10th. They're going to meet at the Namekagon Transit Building, approximately 4 miles east of the city of Hayward on County Road B. And the agenda there is a lot of audience recognition, financial report, ridership, maintenance, policies, grants, and, of course, a time for the public to express their thoughts. Again, the Namekagon Transit Commission will be meeting Thursday, July 10th at 1 p.m. Oh, I forgot this. Going back, Wednesday night, the Native American Expo will be happening at the library. Check that out, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock to 8:30. A great opportunity to see some great demonstrations of powwow dance, powwow music, and the regalia that the natives wear at a powwow. Now, some of us would think this is a costume. It's not. It is a tribal clothing element that they traditionally wear at powwow. So check that out at the landing. All right, back to the 10th Thursday. We have a loon pontoon tour on Lake Owen. This is through the Cable Natural History Museum. Learn amazing facts about these ancient birds and beautiful lakes that they live on as you tour on Lake Owen. At 9 a.m., meet at the Cable Natural History Museum, and then you will be transported to the pontoon ride on Lake Owen looking for our loons. If you're a nonprofit or community organization and you'd like to have your event announced right here on the community calendar, go to the Civic Media app, which is a free download from the Apple or Android store. Once you have that app downloaded, search for WBZH within the app, click on that, make it My Station, and then you can send us an email through the app by attaching your flyer or information. You can also send us a text message as well. Finally, you can send an email directly to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. And we'll do our best to fit that into the community calendar of events airing both here on WBZH and WHSM. You've been listening to WBZH Buzz of the North, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, head over to our website at wbzh.fm and subscribe to our newsletter. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information in 20 minutes on Buzz of the North. It's 8:29.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The universities of Wisconsin could raise their undergraduate tuition for state residents this week. The new plan released on Tuesday would cover a 4% increase in tuition across the entire system and allow individual schools to add another 1% to their tuition rates. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman says every school except UW-Green Bay plans to add the extra 1%. Under the increase, campuses in the Northwest Wisconsin region would see tuition range from $9,200 in Superior to over $10,000 in Eau Claire. The Wisconsin Supreme Court delivered a decision on Tuesday that will allow the state to implement a ban on conversion therapy. In the 4-3 decision, the state's highest court ruled that an attempt by the Republican-controlled Joint Committee for the Review of Administrative Rules to reject a state agency rule banning the practice was unconstitutional. Governor Evers brought the lawsuit, arguing the committee has been essentially exercising an unconstitutional legislative veto. The state Supreme Court agreed that the committee was overreaching its authority. The Polk County Health Department has issued a swimming advisory at South Twin Beach due to high levels of bacteria in the last 2 weeks of June. According to a press release, the swimming advisory will remain in effect until consecutive weeks of testing show the bacteria levels have returned to acceptable levels. Swimming in water with high bacteria levels can lead to some minor illnesses like eye infections or stomach issues. The Polk County Health Department is reminding residents to be cautious when swimming at any beach, especially after heavy rain. Lane closures have started on the Blatnik Bridge as the start of the full reconstruction project approaches. Minnesota Department of Transportation crews will be conducting routine inspections on the bridge over the next 3 weeks. Due to those inspections, the bridge will see right lane closures from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. through Thursday this week. When work begins on the Superior-bound side of the bridge, drivers will see a 10-foot width restriction and a 45-mile-per-hour speed limit. Transportation officials are warning drivers to expect increased traffic delays. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Actor Mark Ruffalo has taken shots at podcaster Joe Rogan, insinuating that Rogan is late to the game with his ICE raid outrage. The Kenosha-born Ruffalo said it's a little late now to pretend like Project 2025 didn't exist and wasn't the playbook all along, saying about Rogan, you are either not that smart or not that dumb. It's hard to tell at this point. Ruffalo has a host of projects set to drop in the coming months, and despite a solid performance as always, is still probably trying to forget he was part of Mickey 17. AMC Theaters recently announced they would play more commercials before movies to help offset a budget deficit. That's probably not something most moviegoers wanted to hear, but in a move in the other direction, beginning July 8, the movie chain will offer 50% off tickets on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. The chain has also announced they will offer discount popcorn and soda on those days. This will allow the movie-going public to save a few bucks while still trying to add a few extra pounds. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Mostly sunny and pleasant today. We'll get to around 75 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We may see a little patchy fog toward morning. Our low dropping down to 52. Tomorrow, sunshine 82 with a chance of scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
Let's say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, women continue having problems accessing their health care. We're going to talk about that with Megan Kling. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
All right, it is time to continue the longest-running fight here at Civic Media. And you know, the Civic Media folks, we're buddies, we're pals, we all get along. But there are some fights, and the current fight between me and Todd Allbaugh is which one can have Senator Kelda Royce on as a co-host, you know, most often in the future when she decides she doesn't want to keep doing this politics thing all the time because she's so good at explaining the news to us all. Senator Kelda Royce, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm so happy to be with you, Pat. Nice to have someone fighting over me because my kids certainly are not interested in that.
I understand. Yep. Yep. So I was on with Todd the other day. And by the way, Todd and I will be together at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair for his show, 2 to 4 p.m. Thursday and Friday. So if you're in the Chippewa County area, come on out to the fairgrounds of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair and see us Thursday and Friday from 2 to 4 at the fair. So you've been with Todd, and you've put out a statement as well on, you know, the most recent Supreme Court decision. We're going to get to the state budget matter in just a moment here. But I, of course, as you know, have been fascinated by yesterday's Supreme Court decision because of all the nerd stuff behind it.
Yes.
It is about, you know, the decision was about, you know, the so-called conversion therapy. And there's a lot that can be said about the ways that that is used to essentially terrorize, you know, young people and the LGBTQ community. But the reason for it, the reason for that decision is one of several instances where Republicans have abused trust in the legislature. There was gerrymandering the maps. There's holding up all the nominations. There's abusing the Joint Finance Committee to hold back money that was already approved. And then there's this one that's a bit more obscure, but, you know, a bill becomes a law, but a law only becomes the law through the rules that are written to enforce the law. And Kelda, you know firsthand, we both have worked with that particular Administrative Rules Committee. Mm-hmm. That committee is not the backstop that it used to be for the few times that a rule maybe was, you know, out of line. The Republicans are using that committee in a far different way now, aren't they?
That's right. I mean, it's yet another example of how Republicans have been using their ill-gotten gerrymandered power to unconstitutionally put themselves not just in the legislative branch, but to try to override what the governor and the executive branch are charged with doing. And so the court's decision, well, it has the effect of clearing the way to make sure that young people are not subjected to these abusive practices like conversion therapy. The mechanism is that the legislature doesn't get to have the final say. The governor's the one who decides whether to sign laws or veto them. It's not the legislature.
I love the fact, too, that as Republicans are caterwauling about this, they're again saying, oh, Tony Evers wants to make himself a king. And they'd say the same thing about the partial veto powers and everything, when it actually is the legislature that has tried to turn into a de facto monarchy by saying, nope, we're going to take budget power away from the governor. And, you know, even if we don't have the votes to override his veto, we're going to find other ways to sabotage what he is otherwise legally able to do. This is a party that's run the legislature for 14 years that is long overdue for some reform, even if it has to come from a state Supreme Court.
Absolutely. And to be clear, like this, you know, the court decisions that have been smacking down the legislature have not just been the liberals on the court, right? A lot of these decisions have been 7-0, 6-1. And yesterday's decision is another victory for Wisconsinites who want to have a government that is responsive to their needs, right? To us as the people, and not just to the right-wing special interests that would love to see, you know, the most extreme elements of the Republican Party controlling everything.
And I think, as I mentioned earlier, looking back at these past few decisions here, and I have been clear, I did not agree with the Supreme Court's reasoning on limiting the partial veto powers, but I get it. I understand what they were saying. But here's my larger point. I think yesterday's ruling on the rulemaking process, unrigging the gerrymandered maps. Mm-hmm. I feel like now with this progressive majority, and yeah, sometimes it's actually more than 4-3, sometimes it's 5-2, sometimes it's 7-0. But I feel like this progressive majority on the court is actually leading Wisconsin state government down a path of reform that you can't abuse the rules process, and that a governor can't, you know, push the envelope on veto powers. This seems like the most fair-minded court we've had in my memory.
Yeah, it's really heartening to see. You know, I remember when I was growing up and when I was a law student, the Wisconsin Supreme Court was really held in very, very high regard. And it was looked at as even on par with the U.S. Supreme Court in terms of the quality of the reasoning. And that was Shirley Abrahamson and Ann Walsh Bradley, you know, who were really intellectual lights on that court. And it is gratifying to see that this court is helping to make Wisconsin a place where everyone can thrive. And they really are, they're not a rubber stamp for one side or the other. And I think that's very healthy. That's what we ultimately want to have in a democracy.
Yeah. We talked in the last hour with Heather Dubois-Bornon from the Wisconsin Public Education mm-hmm. Network and Corrine Hendrickson about their unhappiness with what was in the state budget agreement in terms of public education, in terms of childcare. All of that is well known. You have explained your reasons for your vote on the bill as well. So I don't want to dwell on it too much longer. But I knew you were the right person to help us pivot from here, because you can be against this budget, but you can also understand why some of your Democratic colleagues supported it. And
absolutely.
So how do you go forward in helping voters understand that there is frustration among the progressive community right now, including with each other to a degree, but those aren't the people you should be taking your frustrations out on next year?
Right. And in fact, I think to be fair, it isn't just progressives who are frustrated, right? Education, public school funding has been the number one issue that we've heard about for many years on the budget committee. And it's been a long standing, you know, for the last 15 years, our kids have not gotten an inflationary increase in schools. And when inflation goes up and you don't get an increase, that's a cut. In addition to, of course, the devastating cuts of the Walker years. So our kids have really been getting shortchanged. And people have every right to be angry and frustrated about that. I'm angry and frustrated about that. That said, it is better than no budget at all. And the slight increase in special education funding is going to be helpful to many school districts. It will help offset the no increase in general aids, which is going to be devastating. You know, 2/3 of districts are going to have less money than they had last year because of the general school aid being held flat. But I think that we have to look beyond. If we want things to change, then we cannot continue to empower Robin Voss and the extreme Republican Party. We have got to have a Democratic trifecta. And that's really what I'm going to be focusing on and working towards. Ultimately, we can fund our schools appropriately. Our kids deserve better schools, but that's only going to happen if we have a Democratic trifecta.
And so our guest last hour talked about a rally that will be held at the Capitol a little after 9 a.m. This Friday, day after tomorrow. You're going to be there as well?
I am. Childcare is something I'm really passionate about, not just because it's important for our workforce and economy, but because every single kid deserves the best possible start in life. That's when so much brain development happens. And it shouldn't be rationed based on how much money your parents have.
Senator Kelderoyce is our guest here, and let's turn to where the legislature goes from here. The budget's passed. That's the one bill that, you know, theoretically always has to pass, and then everything is extra. I noticed yesterday it was like somebody unloaded a dump truck of bill introductions. Now that the budget's done, everybody is circulating ideas for new bills. So there'll be some time in the fall and the next spring before everybody goes out to campaign again. Are there things that you think now beyond the state budget are going to get done, which obviously would have to be done in a bipartisan fashion? Or is it more the pessimistic view that very little is going to get done for the rest of this session?
Well, you know, I always try to be optimistic because I think it's important. If you're going to work in politics, you have to, you know, hope is really what drives you. But I think realistically, it's going to be very difficult. The Republicans are in disarray. They are unable to govern with these narrower majorities, and they see the writing on the wall that they are very likely to be in the minority in the next session. And I think that's exacerbated some of the conflicts between different members of the Republican caucus. That said, you know, there are a lot of big issues that I'm working on that I think should and could have bipartisan support. I think about, you know, regulating AI. This is a huge emerging issue that a lot of state legislators are not paying attention to yet. And it's already transforming our society. We really need to be thinking about this. Things like data privacy, right? At a time when the federal government is abusing our data and really weaponizing forces in the government against our own people, we need to be very careful about what data is accessible. I think a cell phone ban, I would love to see a bell-to-bell cell phone ban in schools. I think there's a lot of bipartisan support for that. Regulating social media and the way that social media can influence and harm our kids. So there, you know, housing issues, there's a lot that I'm passionate about where I think we can have hopefully some bipartisan cooperation.
Here's one that won't happen, but it should, and that would be the Medicaid expansion, given Absolutely. What the Trump administration and Congress just decided to do to Medicaid. But yeah. I vented on this yesterday, so I just want to give you the chance to vent as well, except I can vent at one of your colleagues. Maybe you don't want to. But I read this from the Channel 13 website yesterday. I'm going to read it again. State Senator Jesse James, Republican of Thorpe, said the biggest ticket item was increasing the hospital assessment and access payments to the federal maximum and reinvesting that money back into the hospitals. This untapped federal money is an additional pathway to help support our hospitals, to which I add rhetorically, well, Senator, what the hell do you think the Medicaid expansion was?
Exactly. I mean, honest to God, I don't know how Republicans get away with calling themselves fiscally responsible when for years they have rejected hundreds of millions of dollars coming into the state every year. Wisconsin taxpayers could pay less to cover more people. And instead, we are paying to cover people in Illinois and California and all these red states that have expanded Medicaid. All of our health insurance costs go up when we have more uninsured people. Our rural hospitals and care centers struggle, nursing homes close because we're not able to get them the revenue they need. They have too much uncompensated care when people are uninsured or underinsured. And Republicans have rejected over and over. And that means that about 90,000 Wisconsinites have gone without the health care that they need. It's bad for our economy. It's bad for our state budget. And it's, of course, bad for our health.
And then finally, how much on pins and needles do you feel, and not just you, all kinds of folks in the legislature, folks outside of the legislature, as you wait for things to happen, obviously starting with Governor Evers making a decision on running, but there's congressional seats, there's assembly reps running for state senate, which opens up an assembly race to happen. And what does that feel like knowing that, you know, while you think about your own future, whether you want to stay in the state senate or do something else, do you feel stuck in political limbo right now?
Well, it's an exciting time. I mean, I think, you know, the governor should take the time that he and Kathy need to think about this and make a decision. It's a really momentous one, right? 2026 is going to be, I think, a huge year for Democrats. It's a big, big opportunity. So if he decides it's the right time to pass the torch, I have no doubt that we will be able to hold the governor's office. But that's his decision to make. And I think I'm just really excited because I am working on having a Democratic trifecta. And we had the launch of a great state Senate candidate, Jenna Jacobson, mm-hmm. this week. I think we'll have more in the coming weeks, and I'm focused on helping them win.
Trifecta. Get used to hearing that word a lot and the importance of it here in Wisconsin. Senator Calderoy's, it's always great. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Take care, Pat. Thank you.
All right. A local update is next for some of you. Others, we'll have some final news and notes from Lake Wissota, including James Kelly in the Civic Media Newsroom in Chippewa Falls. All coming up next. You're up north.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew.
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, Matt and Air on Air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. I recently had a conversation with Kelsey, the organizer of a GoFundMe account to help restore the Stone Lake Pub, which tragically burnt to the ground on an early morning, June 21st. Here's my conversation with Kelsey Gensmer.
So on Saturday morning, June 21st, we actually received a text message from Haley at about, 12:15, and we were just shutting the lights off at the bar. And I called her and she said, the pub is on fire. And I said, Haley, we will be there as soon as possible. We're shutting the lights off right now. And we got there with our kids and we pulled up and there was smoke, you know, billowing from the roof, and just watching this fire in its starting phases of everything. We sat there until about 3:30 in the morning with Haley and her parents, Jen and Jeremy. And I will be crying in this interview, but watching the devastation of this building and watching Haley lose her livelihood was probably one of the worst things I've ever witnessed.
Yeah.
Haley has owned the pub. Now this is her fourth summer. She's 26 years old, and at this point, as a business owner, just, you know, you put so much hard work and grit into your lifestyle that you chose.
Right.
and watch it all just go away in the matter of hours is so sad. You know, it's a fire, you know, any natural disaster is something that we all risk. You know, anything that you own, a car, a house, a building, a business, you know, you risk that every day. Jordan and I have owned Anglers for 18 years, and you know, you shut the lights off every single night and you pray that nothing happens.
Right. Yeah.
And for Haley to be on her fourth year and really just starting to take off and watch it go away for her is, I mean, there's no words. You know, you're standing there that night and there's nothing to say.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of people that have these stories and things, and this is the time when you ask the community to come together to bring back, you know, a key piece to your city.
Yeah.
And, yeah. It, you know, so I did with approval from Haley, I did start the GoFundMe page. Watching the donations that have come in the last 48 hours is incredible. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm blown away by what's come in.
Right.
It's just amazing.
Yep. There's so much to the process, the phone calls, you know, equipment, the deliveries, the, you know, the insurances, obviously, all the things that you have to go through and,
yeah,
you know, write your master list and start making the phone calls and have the meetings and all the things. And Haley's plan is to rebuild. You know, she's so young and so driven, and her goals and her life goals. She's a mom of a 7-month-old baby, you know, things. She's just really getting into her adult life. And,
yeah,
you know, it went sideways last weekend.
Yeah. So all the donations that are coming in on the GoFundMe page you have listed here, it's going to help out with the cleanup and demolition of what's left. We got to clean up the site. The business losses, obviously the replacement of the equipment, the restaurant equipment, everything that's in there, rebuilding efforts and future plans, and then support for Haley herself and her team. And I'm sure she has those employees that have been trusted and been with her for those years that she's been open. And now they lost their livelihoods too. So that helps support that team in those efforts. So what else can we say about the fundraiser and how it's helping them?
Anything at this point, you know, right now in this moment, you know, everybody, so many people want to help. And at this point right now, financially makes the most sense.
It does.
And yeah. I am planning to have a fundraiser for her this fall. That's all just in minute details at this point.
Sure.
Right now we're shooting for August, early September. You know, like you said, the whole cleanup, that's getting cleaned up today and tomorrow. And, you know, things are just really advancing really fast at this point, which is obviously great news.
Sure.
But as far as the fundraiser goes, yes, it's going to all of those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's still bills to be paid, you know, every single day,
yep,
regardless if it's gone or not. So,
yep,
you know, there's still a big financial impact that's hitting Haley right now as we speak.
Sure. Well, Kelsey, let's go over how people can find the GoFundMe page and where they can do their donations at.
Sure, absolutely. So I do have some posters around in Stone Lake. There are QR codes floating around. With QR codes, you just take your phone camera,
okay,
and hold the camera to the QR code. You tap on it and it actually clicks the website.
Okay.
Otherwise, anybody can go to GoFundMe.com, and then in the search bar, all you have to type is Stone Lake Pub, and yeah, it will pop up at the top of the search bar. That's the easiest way to do it. People have been pouring in, you know, $10, $100. There's a $5,000 donation from,
yeah,
people. I mean, you know, for those that just want to support, you know, personally with Jordan and I, we go there quite often. I mean, the pub is our second home from Anglers Haven.
Sure.
And, you know, any bar tab that we would have ran, we've donated. And, you know, just there's a whole different way of thinking for everybody,
yeah,
and how you want to make up for it and how you want to help and all the things. So it's, you know, it's just, it's whatever your heart speaks, you choose, you know, that any of it is appreciated so much. And watching these numbers climb it's so incredible and it's so appreciative. And there's no words for Haley right now. She doesn't know what to feel right now. There's,
right,
you know, so,
yeah,
many things to think about and worry about. And,
yep,
as I'm crying here, and I'm not even her, but I feel for her so much.
Yep. You understand. You understand what it's like to be running a business like that. So. You've been listening to The Morning Buzz on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WBZH shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. Coming up after local news and information, my colleague Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:59.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Texas flooding has killed 110 people, but more than 170 remain unaccounted for. ABC's Matt Gutman is in Kerrville, Texas, and says recovery teams are committed to finding every person on the list.
I've been speaking with EMS officials who are telling me that they are going to scour every single inch of the Guadalupe River all the way down to its terminus at Canyon Lake. That's 125 river miles away. It's a process that could take months.
Three were killed in the vacation town of Ruidoso, New Mexico on Tuesday, also from severe flooding. Russia sending more than 700 drones into Ukraine overnight, also firing 13 missiles into the country. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky meeting with Pope Leo today, suggesting the Vatican could host peace talks to end the war. Shake up in the world of Formula One. Red Bull letting team principal Christian Horner go. He has run the team for the last 20 years, which included championships. Red Bull struggled, however, over the past couple of seasons. This is ABC News.